On this edition of WBOI's Field Notes, we are eagerly awaiting Monday's national championship game between IU and Miami. We'll hear how Coach Cignetti and Fernando Mendoza are holding up in the days before the biggest game in program history. Then Victoria Jacobson drops by to discuss local hoops, and we'll hear a preview of this weekend's girls wrestling state finals. I'll close with notes on the Comets, the NFL playoffs, and more. That's all next on Field Notes. Thank you for joining us this week. I'm Zach Bernard. IU dominated Oregon 56-22 in last week's Peach Bowl matchup in Atlanta, earning the program a ticket to its first ever national championship game in Miami on Monday. They seem to have erased any doubts that last year's run to the college football playoffs wasn't the real deal. Going into the season, critics said IU had a soft schedule, pointing to blowout losses at Ohio State and Notre Dame as to why Indiana was still Indiana. They were ranked just 20th at the start of this year, and head coach Kurt Cignetti says his team felt disrespected.
I think a lot of that negative stuff in the media fueled the guys returning from this team, and we added some real key pieces, the main one sitting right here on my left.
That guy is Fernando Mendoza. He threw 5 touchdowns in IU's commanding win over the Ducks. The Heisman winner says he's never played in Hard Rock Stadium, but he's very familiar with IU's opponent, the Miami Hurricanes.
If you open Google Maps and put my address to the University of Miami campus, it's under a mile away. And I, walk there, bike there, play basketball rec games in the offseason there. And it means a lot to me.
In 2 playoff games, Mendoza has thrown 8 touchdown passes with just 5 incompletions. He says the Hoosiers just have to be themselves against Miami next week.
Even though it's a national championship, we don't got to do anything that's out of character. We just got to play our brand of football, and that's what has led us to this point in 15 wins this season.
Cignetti says the Hoosiers will prepare just like they have all year.
Try to keep it as normal as possible. We'll have an extra day regardless of what we decide to do. And the reason we are where we are is because we prepared the right way. And that's why we've been able to meet the challenge and put it on the field.
Kickoff from Hard Rock Stadium in Miami is set for 7:45 Monday evening. The game can be seen on ESPN. And now I'm joined by Victoria Jacobson from the Journal-Gazette. Thank you, as always, for being here.
Thanks so much for having me.
Let's start with boys basketball. Last week, undefeated Southside was handed its first loss. Tell us what happened.
While some of you were sitting down to watch IU in the Peach Bowl, I was over at Southside's gym to watch the Archers, who came in undefeated. They were hosting Homestead, who is the top-ranked boys team in our area. Homestead picked up a pretty big lead in this one. We're up by 17 points early in the fourth quarter. And then things got a little bit more interesting. So that 17-point deficit whittled down to 6 points in that final minute. But Jake Coleman hit 2 free throws in the final seconds to pad it back to a 3-possession game. Homestead ends up taking this one 67-59. So they are currently, the Homestead Spartans are alone atop the SAC boys standings. And it just kind of turns out that Southside is a really, really good defensive team. Their press was kind of giving Homestead a little bit of trouble. That's something that hopefully they'll be able to learn from and, handle maybe a little bit better next time they see it, whether it's in SAC play, whether it's in the postseason, which actually isn't too terribly far away. And so Southside fell to 12-1, and then they got a win over Marion after that. So 13-1 right now.
On the girls' side, the latest IBCA poll is out, and it looks like our region still has the number one spot.
Yes, so Warsaw is still the number one girls' team in the state. We just talked about the fact that I believe it was the first time since 2003 in the 2003 preseason poll that they were ranked number one. Last week, maintained the top spot. The Tigers drew 17 of 22 first place votes. They're now 18-1 after beating Northridge on Saturday. Homestead is 17-2 and remains fourth. So we could see either of those teams advancing really, really deep in the 4A state tournament. Warsaw and Homestead are going to play each other. Homestead's going to be traveling to Warsaw next Tuesday. So if you want to check that one out, that'll be 2 of the state's very top teams. And then Norwell, 15-4, is holding steady at number 8. Belmont, that's the 3A team, is 15-1 and has moved up two spots to number 15 this Saturday. Belmont and Norwell will be playing, and that really should decide the NE8 title this year. So that's another exciting game. And Snyder and Whitco drew votes. In the boys' poll, Homestead is steady at number 13, and Columbia City has jumped into the rankings. We're unranked, are number 20 this week. So that's exciting to see for the Eagles. And then we have Blackhawk Christian, Southside, and New Haven all drawing votes on the boys' side. We did get the USA Today boys poll yesterday, and Columbia City is third in 3A. That is our only team that was in the top 10 in any one of those four classifications on the boys' side.
And the second annual girls wrestling state finals are happening this weekend. What kind of representation will we have from Northeast Indiana?
So I was on hand at the Kokomo Regional on Saturday. So probably the most exciting finals match for the Fort Wayne area was 145, where we had Huntington North's Aubrey Troutner and New Haven's Lanessa Ocampo wrestle each other for the title. That is something that they've done over and over and over again in recent weeks. I think Aubrey Troutner told me it was probably the fourth or fifth time that they've been matched up against each other in a tournament final. Troutner from Huntington North pulled this one out. She pinned Ocampo at 141, so she gets the regional victory. They're both going on to the state finals. Lanessa's sister, Isabella Campo, she also got to finish her afternoon atop the podium because she pinned her opponent in 20 seconds in the semifinal round at 105. And then she beat Riverton Park sophomore Shelby Lightgable in a matchup of previously undefeated wrestlers in the regional final. So she wins at 105. We had a couple of other locals make the Kokomo finals. Brooke Steinbacher came up just short in 235. Those were our four finalists, all going along to the state finals in Indianapolis this Friday, along with anybody who finished third or fourth. And then we also had some wrestlers coming out of the Garrett Regional from other schools that are in the other half of the draw. So Garrett had a winner in Nevaeh Wilson. She won by fall over Northwood's Nima Gafar at 109 in the 135 title match. She had a teammate, Reagan Cherney, lose by Tech Fall in the 155 final. We also had Wawasee's Kennedy 9 lose in the 140 final. And in the 170 final, West Noble's Destiny Martinez lost to Crown Point's Jada Miller. We had East Noble's Kaylin Graves place second at 235 as well. And then we also have some third and fourth place wrestlers. So, yeah, we have quite a number going on to the state finals and excited to see how that's all going to shake out this Friday.
Victoria Jacobson covering the whole spectrum of local sports for the Fort Wayne Journal-Gazette. Thank you, as always, for being here.
Thanks so much for having me.
The Fort Wayne Comets had a better weekend than the previous one, picking up two wins and a loss, splitting their two games against Toledo. They entered this week 2 points behind the Walleye. They'll spend a lot of time with the Bloomington Bison this weekend, starting off with a home game Friday at the Coliseum that starts at 7:30. Then they're headed to Central Illinois Saturday, also with a 7:30 faceoff. Well, my Packers couldn't get it done against the Bears. Womp womp. But hey, the number 7 seed lost to the number 2 seed in the NFC. That's how that game was supposed to go, so it's hard to be too broken up about it. The Bears will headline the weekend hosting the Los Angeles Rams on Sunday night at 6:30 from Soldier Field. That should be a thriller, it'll be on NBC. Tickets for that one are listed as low as $416. Wow, what a deal. There's a doubleheader on Saturday with the two bye week teams making their playoff debuts. The Broncos will host the Buffalo Bills in Denver at 4:30 on CBS. Then the Seahawks take on the 49ers at 8 on Fox. If that last one sounds familiar to you, the Seahawks and 49ers just played a Saturday night game 2 weeks ago, and that was to decide the top seed in the NFC. Seattle, as you can tell, ultimately pulled it off. Sunday's other game has the Houston Texans visiting the New England Patriots. Kickoff for that one is at 3 on ABC. Last week, I mentioned that the Pacers hadn't won a game in a month. Since then, the Pacers haven't lost a game. What a weird sport. At this stage of the season, it's unlikely to result in anything resembling a playoff push. They are where they are, but those are still working athletes who have to perform every night. Losing is hard, so I'm happy they've gotten some relief over the last few games. They're hosting the Pelicans at Gainbridge Friday night, before hitting the road to take on the Pistons, 76ers, and Celtics over the next week. And the Purdue men's team will be in Southern California for the next week, squaring off against USC Saturday and then UCLA on Tuesday. They've got a big conference game against Illinois I'm really looking forward to. That's coming up on Saturday, January 24th. That's all for Field Notes this week. Field Notes comes out every Thursday. We'll see you next week. I'm Zach Bernard.
Music for Field Notes is produced by Jack Ankenbrook. You can support this podcast anytime at wboi.org/donate. You and I are listening to WBOI.